Now that everybody's crying and depressed, let's move along. Amen. No, amen. Thankful for that video. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 12. And before we preach this morning, I want to, if you're a father here today, if you would go ahead and stand for me. If you're a father here today, go ahead and stand. Put my hand there. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. It's good to be here in God's house today. Looking forward to what the Lord will have for us today. But this morning, I want to preach about Abraham and his commitment to a life of faith. By the way of introduction, let me say that we live in a day and age where we need good male role models today. And it's getting harder and harder for boys and girls to have good Christian men to look up to and to follow and to look after. And it seems like it's just been a forgotten thing nowadays. Society today wants to blur the lines between, you know, men and women. In fact, I believe it was Target or Walmart, one of them two, they ran a Christmas Day ad. I think it was last Christmas, but they ran an ad, and they had the girls were playing with the Barbie dolls, and the boys were playing with the Tonka trucks. And people complained because they said, well, that's not right. The girls shouldn't just be playing with Barbie dolls, and the boys shouldn't just be playing with, you know, we need to switch that around. Let me tell you, no, we shouldn't. Amen. Amen. We live in a day and age where society wants to blur together the lines and make, you know, you can't really tell the difference. And let me tell you, we need men to be men and ladies to be ladies in today. Chuck Swindoll had a series of questions written in a book that he wrote called Growing Strong in Family Life. And he asked a few questions. A few of them were, remember when men were men. Remember when you could tell by looking. And it's funny, but it's sad, because I know when we went to Frankenmuth a little while ago, and we were going around, and we were at the arcade and the putt-putt and that. But, I mean, you look over there, and there's little girls. I think they're girls, but they look like girls, but they look like boys, too. And the boys, they play hockey, roller hockey over at Joe Dumars. And we go over there, and like, you see the boys, and they got long hair, and you know, society, they're trying to blur the lines. You know what I mean? They're trying to, you can't really tell what is what. And so he asked, you remember when you could tell by looking? Remember when men knew who they were, why and how they were, and didn't want to be but what they were? Amen to that. Remember when it was when it was the men who boxed and wrestled and bragged about how much they could bench press? You know, it is sad when you think about that. And you know, one of the biggest draws nowadays is the UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship. And it's one thing when a bunch of men, I don't like it anyway. I don't like to see two men go up there and, you know, try to bash each other's heads, and I don't really get the concept of watching that. I mean, if it's on ice, it's a hockey fight, that's okay, men. You know, that's life. You know, you get on hockey, you get in a little disagreement, you beat each other up, and you're over, you shake hands, you go on. But as far, you know, the UFC, and you know, that was a big draw in boxing. But now, for whatever reason, it seems like they even have a bigger draw is the women fighting. You know, Ronda Rousey and all these women. I don't understand that. I don't want to watch two women beat each other up. But society today is trying to blur the lines of what is a man, what is a woman. Another question. It says, remember when it was women who wore the makeup, the earrings, and the bikinis? Amen to that. Swindle goes on to say, we need fewer spineless wimps who never disentangled themselves from mama's apron strings, and more clear-thinking, hard-working, straight-talking men, while tender, thoughtful, and loving, don't feel the need to ask permission to take charge. Swindle's right. I believe we need more of that. We need more of our children to have those kind of manly influences in their lives today. We need more men to step up and be leaders of their household. Give you a few stats here why fathers are so important to the home. 23% of U.S. children, that's 17.4 million, lived in father-absent homes in 2014. Nearly 25%, nearly one in every four. In 2011, children living in female-headed homes with no spouse present had a poverty rate of 50%. This is over four times the rate for children living in married coupled families. A study of 1.4 million infants in Florida evaluated how a lack of father involvement impacts the birth weight. Researchers also found that father absence increases the risk of infant mortality, and that the mortality rate for infants within the first 28 days of life is 4 times higher for those from absent fathers than those with involved fathers. Adolescents from father absent homes were 3.5 times more likely to experience pregnancy than adolescents from father present homes. Moreover, the rate of pregnancy among adolescents from father absent homes was 17.4% compared to just 4% where the father is present in the home. Disengaged and remote interactions of fathers with infants is a predictor of early behavior problems in children and can lead to externalizing behaviors in children as early as age 1. And the last stat I'll give you, individuals from father absent homes were found to be 279% more likely to carry guns and deal drugs than peers living with their fathers. I think of Abraham this morning in the life of a man who represents a faithful man. I represents a man that was committed to a life of faith and a great man to look up to. If you would, go ahead and stand. We'll look at Genesis chapter number 12. We'll read a few verses and we'll stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God this morning. Genesis chapter number 1. And we'll begin in Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed to the land unto the place of Sishem, in the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day, Lord. We're so thankful that we have a good Father, a great Heavenly Father, and a God that loves us, and a God that takes care of us in our time of need. But Lord, today as we think about our earthly fathers and not only the example that we need to set and the leadership that we need to have in our homes, Lord, help us today to have that. Lord, be with the message, and Lord, hide me behind the cross. Be with the message as I just present the message that you gave me. Lord, we need your help this morning. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. Lord, be with this time that we have together. Let the Holy Spirit work its will and way in the lives of everyone today, and not just the men, but the ladies and the families here today. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So the very first thing I find here in this text is, number one, that Abraham was in line with God's plan. See, God called Abraham, if you look, at the age of 75. And he called him to leave behind his home, to get up and move and get the kindred and get everybody out of there. And you don't find Abraham balking. You don't find Abraham saying, "No, Lord, I can't do that." What you find is no hesitation. Abraham says, "Yes, sir, I will do as you told me to do. I will follow what you tell me to do. I will put my faith out there and move my family to wherever you'll have me to move." Here we find in his life of faith, we find him doing without hesitation what God has called him to do. Now, I know we don't have this problem here in Emmanuel, but you go to churches all across the country, and what you'll find is that the women do the majority of the work in the church. I'm thankful, Emmanuel, everyone contributes. Man, when we have meetings and we have different events and cleanings, and man, I tell you what, there's just as much men and just as much women, amen? That's a blessing. You don't see that in a lot of churches today. A lot of the men are out golfing, and we'll let the women go do the women thing. Let me tell you, church is a man thing too, amen? You don't find that, but here you find Abraham. He says, "Yes, sir, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you called me to do, and Lord, I'll do where you tell go where you tell me to go." And he's not afraid to do that. And we need men today that that have heard the call of God, and the men that are saved and know that, hey, I'm not afraid of my faith, and I'm not ashamed of my God, and I'm not afraid to go out into this world and be a witness and do what God has called me to do. Church and salvation, a lot of times, well, we'll let the women go to church. We'll let the women take the kids, and we'll let the women read the Bible. We'll let the women pray with the kids at night. No, we need men to step up and be leaders in the family. Men to step up and teach our kids how to act. Teach our kids the Bible. Teach our kids to love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. We need that today. And here we find Abraham, or Abram, as he is. The name hasn't been changed yet. And we find here that, you know what that implies when we have men that go out and have a testimony and have that, you know that they're a man of God. Number one, you find that Abram, that there's a personal relationship. Can I say this? Every child deserves a saved father. Every child deserves that. Unfortunately, in today, not every child is going to get that. But here, Abraham and his children look up to him. They knew they had a personal relationship with him. And they knew that Abraham knew, hey, I need to be the influence on my family. I'm going to show my family, and I'm going to be that leader to show that influence on my children. I want to be it. You know, too often times today there's so many influence from all over the place. And, you know, especially with TV and everything we have today, not only us, but our children are getting bombarded with influence, getting bombarded with it. You know, the other day, or last week, whenever it was, or maybe even longer than that, maybe a month ago now, time flies. But, you know, they had Bruce Jenner on, you know, and he was, you know, glorifying all that. And you know, I think he won some great hero award. What a shame that was, from ESPN. But that was on the TV. And then he comes on TV, and my little boy says, you know, why does that woman sound like a man? Hurry up, turn that off. Amen. You know why? Because there's influences that are coming into our children's lives that we as fathers, as leaders of the home, have to protect against. We have to watch for that. We have to keep a watchful eye. And the reason I say that is because they enter our homes and they come into different ways, even when we're not paying attention. And I say, hey, listen, what that person needs, they need the Lord. That's what they need. Amen? God made people the way God made people. Now, it's not a choice, amen? Can't say, well, God messed up on that one. No, God doesn't make any mistakes. But here we find Abram had a testimony. He had a personal relationship with God. Number two, we find out that there is a personal responsibility before God. Every man in this church house today, but especially fathers, have a great responsibility before the Lord. You know, the Bible says that in Ephesians chapter number 5, that the man is the head of the household. And with that comes great responsibility. That means that with that responsibility, that one day the man is going to have to stand before God as the head of the household and answer to God for his family. It's a great responsibility. To answer to God, did he lead the family in the right direction? So the Bible says a man is the head of the household. It is a man's job. A man will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. It's a shame when so many women have to step up and be the head of the household, isn't it? We need men to step up and be leaders and to say, no, I'm going to take charge. I'm going to be head of the household. And too often times when the man reads that verse about, well, I'm the head of the household, and they get all puffed up and say, well, I'm the boss. I'm the head honcho. But the Bible says that a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church. Amen? So oftentimes we as men fail. We read that verse as being the head of the household, and we think, well, I'm the head and I'm the man, which the man should be the head. But the man at that same time should be loving his wife as Christ loved the church. Boy, how we fail at that sometimes, don't we, men? We fail. We fall short. Why? Because we need to love our wives. We need to show our wives the love of Christ and show our families the love of Christ. And the way that a family is set up is that the wife is subject unto her husband, who is following God, is faithful to God, and loving his wife unconditionally, loving his wife with everything he has, like Christ loved the church. And the children see that love, and they know there's a relationship and a relationship with God. And that's the kind of family that God has set up in the Word of God. Here, number one, We see that personal walk. Number two, we see that there the personal responsibility of a man in the household. As the head of the household, we are responsible for training our children. Train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. Men, it's our job to train our children in the way we should go. Just like a drill sergeant or someone in that position, they train their soldiers, don't they? When they do something wrong, they got it corrected. They got to be in charge, and they got to lead that troop or lead that platoon in the right direction and say, hey, there's one person in charge, there's one leader, and he's got to lead that troop. Folks, we got to look at it. When we're here, we got to lead our families in that same way. We have little soldiers that we want to get saved, right? And when they get saved, they become a soldier of the Lord. But we want to train up them little soldiers to be good soldiers, don't we? We want them to fight for our Lord. We want to be that example. Hey, I'm going to fight, and you know what? Because of my example, because they're looking up to me, I'm going to fight for them, and I'm going to teach them how to fight for our God. I'm going to teach our children and train them. I'm going to teach them about the Lord. I'm going to teach them about the Bible, how God preserved His Word for you and for me. How great is that? I'm going to teach them how the will of the Lord, how to pray and how to get on our knees in our times of need. I'm going to teach my little children from as little as this, hey, Jesus died for you on the cross. It's our responsibility, men, that our children get saved, that we give them the gospel, that we lead them along the way and we bring them to church. And not only do we, the church will teach them, but we at home take them home and teach them every day. About how God, when I pray with my little boys at night, I pray and say, oh Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Two of my boys, the two older ones are saved. My two younger ones aren't yet. But Eli, he's asking questions and he's wanting to be, he says, Dad, I want to know more about getting saved. And we go over it with him and it's like, I know he's getting close. But a little Eli, and he asks questions. But when I pray with him, I pray, Lord, thank you so much for dying on the cross for Eli. Thank you so much for dying on the cross for Micah and that, oh Lord, I'm thankful that we can go to heaven if all we do is accept you as our Savior, repent of our sin. Because I want my boys to hear that. I want them to know why we get saved, why we go to church, why we serve our God. It's important that we do that, man. Important that we pray with our children. Teach them about the Lord. Teach them how to walk with the Lord. But unfortunately, too many men today, we fall short in those roles that we should be filling there today. We need men to be aware that our children see us and do as we do. They're apt to do what we do, I should say. As that first video, we seen the son and the father, and they're all the dad's doing kind of all the things, and he was saying, hey, you know, Grandpa, did Grandpa used to do that? Yeah, he did. Did Grandpa used to do that? I know all the men here said, I when I grow up, I do not want to be like my dad. How'd that work out? Amen. but see, we seen that video, and boy, is it true, because I tell you, I'll go out and cut the grass, and I'll be cutting the grass outside, and Micah will get his little plastic lawnmower, which does absolutely nothing. He thinks that, and I put earplugs in my ears, little earplugs in, and he'll say, Daddy, I need my earplugs. See, I gotta go over there and put earplugs in his ears, and he'll get out, and I'll get out there, and I'm pushing, you know, I'm cutting the grass, and there's Micah. Not doing a thing, but he, you know, in his mind, he's being just like Daddy. I get the blower out and I'm blowing the grass off, and he's got a little plastic blower and he'll blow, and he, you know, it's not even blowing, not doing nothing, but he's having the best time. You know why? Because he's trying to be like Daddy. Just like that video and just like in our life, man, if we don't show our children the right direction, it's on us. Because our children are apt to, more than likely, are going to follow what we have done, the things that we've showed them how to do. There was an old anti-smoking commercial from a long time ago that showed a father and son walking together. Their father picked up a rock and threw it. The son did the same thing. The father whistled and the son copied him. Then the father fished a cigarette from a pack and slid it, a cigarette from a pack and began to smoke. The commercial ended up with a boy looking from the father to a cigarette pack he found on the side of the road. Man, it's really important that we set a good example. Because the example that we set, more than likely, our children are going to follow in those footsteps. They're always watching. They're always listening. It's so important. And let me, I mentioned this when I taught Sunday school a couple weeks ago, and I talked about this a little bit. But how important it is, and we don't think about it. But sometimes we as parents, or the men, or whatever it might be, we get in the car after church. And we get in the car, and maybe something happened that we didn't like at church. So we get in the car, and the kids are in the back seat, and we're talking. Oh man, can you believe that? Did you hear what the preacher said about that? Or can you believe that song they sang? Or we start complaining. We start saying something. You know, that Brother Bill, I just don't like that guy. But I mean, you know, we go and we do them kind of things, you know. But we go there. But you know the problem with that? There's little ears listening in the back seat. And what we're doing is we want to set the example how important church is. We want our children to look up to the pastors. We want our children to look up to the missionaries and the evangelists and the deacons and the men of the church that have good leadership and the Sunday school teachers and all that teach them. We want them to look up to those people. But when we go there and do those kind of things and we're talking like that, what do you think little ears are hearing? Well, I thought that was important. I thought those were good. So we got to be careful about that. Like the old song, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear, right? We got to be careful as men, as leaders, as parents. We got to be careful what we talk about, what we do. Why? Because there's children that are listening and they're watching. And if you find anyone that grows up and they get older, and they're usually hypercritical about the church or about things that happen in church or all those things, you probably more than likely trace that back. They probably had parents that did the same thing. So folks, we got to be careful about that. So here we find that Abraham was in line with God's plan. Look at verse number 5. The very next thing we find in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 12. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered. In other words, God got all of Abraham. When God told Abraham to move, Abraham didn't say, you know what, I'm going to leave some of this behind. I'm not going to take everything I've got, but I'm going to take everything. He said, I'm going to take all that, everything God has blessed me with, I'm going to take it, and I'm not going to leave anything behind. But you know, a lot of times, men, we leave stuff behind. We get saved. God blessed us with talents. Maybe you're talented in carpentry. Maybe you're talented in mowing the grass. Whatever it might be. And men have talents to do things. But oftentimes we get saved. And yeah, we're involved in church. But there's some things that we're holding back. Well, I don't want to get too involved in church. You know, I don't want to get too involved and do all that. And I know, you know, I got talents and I got this. But I'm going to hold back. When we get saved, there's a reason that you're here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. You know why? Because it's a body. And in the body, everything has a purpose, doesn't it? We need a plumber. We need an electrician around here. We need a piano player. We need all these things. We need people to fill in the gaps. Why? Because God has assembled you for a reason, and that's to use your talents, whatever they might be, for the honor and for God's glory. But too often times, our men, we get our pride in the way, or ladies get their pride in the way and say, well, no, I don't want to play the piano, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. It's not just, you know, it isn't manly enough. I got other stuff to do. Folks, God needs all our talent, all our time. Here, Abraham's saying, I'm going to take all I have, and I'm all their stuff. We're taking it with us. We're not leaving anything for the world. Don't just use your talent for the world. God gave you a talent to be an electrician or to be a plumber or whatever. God, don't just use that to make money. Use that to give God some honor and some glory with it, amen? He gave it to you for a reason. Here we find Abraham, he said he took everything they have. Abraham said, you know what, I'm not just going to give a little bit, but you know what, I'm going to surrender all. Like the little boy that had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. The feeding of the 5,000 men, which was probably more like 20,000, right? Because there was 5,000 men there, not including the women and the children. So about 20,000 people there, a little boy comes up. And he brings up 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes. And you know what he could have did is he could have said, you know what, God? This is all I got. I'm hungry. It's everything I've worked for. Man, I've been fishing all day, and my mom was baking all morning, and I got the 5 loaves of bread, and I've caught these 2 fish, and it's all I got. And Lord, I can't give it to y'all because then I won't have some for me. But what did the boy do? He said, you know what, Lord? I surrender all. Here, Lord, take my whole meal. Take everything I got. And we all know the story. God used that, and he fed the 20,000 people. He fed it. We know there was 12 left over when he got done. But God used that little thing because that little boy gave everything he had to God. God used it in a great way. Men, ladies, we don't know the potential of what God can do until we give him all. All to Jesus I surrender.
All to him I freely give. We need to have that attitude. We need to have that mindset. I'm going to give everything I got to the Lord. In verse number 4, the Bible says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Here Abraham learned early on that the secret to pleasing God is simply doing what he said. Faith builds no barriers, and we must do as God said and trust him for the rest. The way to have joy in our Christian lives is to surrender all to God. We continue into verse 6, and Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem and in the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. Here we find out a couple things here. God had told Abraham what to do. Abraham was being faithful, but there was a couple of things that were opposing him. Number one, Abraham was 75 years old. Now, can you imagine getting up and moving your entire family? It's hard enough to move an entire family when we have U-Haul, amen, to pack up. But imagine having to load everything up on their carts and donkeys and all that stuff, and load everything up, and they had to move at 75 years old. Here, not only was 75 years old, but it was 500 miles from Haran to Beersheba. That's a long way. 500 miles they had to travel because God said, hey, here's what I want you to do. Hey, but there's Canaanites in the land. So not only are you 75, not only is it 500 miles away, and can I say this, when we get older, and I know I'm not there yet, I mean, I'm getting older every day, amen, but I know when we get older, we start to slow down a little bit, and I know we can't do the things we used to do, and it's probably frustrating for the men and the ladies and the senior saints in the church that used to do certain things around the church, and they can't just do them anymore. But can I say, there's always something that we can do. There's always a place that God will have. Don't feel discouraged. God has a plan for you. Can I say, when we get to the retirement age, it isn't a time to retire. It's a time to refire for God. It's time to serve him, not time to give up. We'll let all the younger folks do it. Yeah, there might be some things we can't do, but let me tell you, God will bring new things in your way. God will give you new responsibility. And here Abram, 75 years old, said, hey, we need you to move your whole family. But there's Canaanites that are in that land. The Canaanites were a godless people. They worshipped many gods, and they performed human sacrifice. They had no regard for morality, for decency. So Abraham here is headed into hostile territory. There's no one, and the problem is when he got there, do you think the Canaanites are going to be like, well, we better be sympathetic to Abram's needs? You know what? They believe in God, and we don't, but so we better have a little sympathy on them. We better take it easy on them. No. It's no different today. The world has no idea. They have no thought of saying, you know what? Well, they're Christians and they love the Lord. They love Jesus and they're saved. We better take it easy. We better just, you know, let them slide right on by. No, let me tell you, when you serve the Lord in the way you're supposed to serve God, there's going to be some Canaanites that are coming your way. The world will oppose you. All that live godly for Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's not an if, but it's a when. Too many times, teenagers, you go to school and they want to be popular, right? I want to be in with the in crowd, and I want to hang out with the cool kids, and I don't want to be, you know, the only one to, standing on my own. You know what the problem is, teenagers? To be popular, you can't be a witness for Christ. The world does not want that. The world does not. If you go into the church carrying or into school carrying your Bible and being a witness like you should be, the world's not going to be for your friend. We got to serve God no matter what. Why? It's not about being popular. It's not about appeasing the Canaanites. It's about serving God the way we should serve God. Men, when we go to work, do we go to work and say, well, I don't want to be the weird guy. I want to be the cool guy, and I want to kind of hang in, and I want to fit in with the boys kind of thing. Do we have that mindset? Or do we go to work and say, you know what? I'm going to be different. You know what? I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to let my little light shine. I'm going to let them know that I'm a Christian. When they, what's funny about that is what'll happen is if you go in there and you be a testimony, not even having to be loud about it, just going in there, not laughing at the dirty joke, not going where they go, saying, yep, praying for you on that. Oh yeah, my wife, she's got surgery. Well, we're praying for you. Me and my wife will pray for you. You go in there and you be an example like that to the men, they'll see the difference without you even having to shove it down their throat. Just go in there and be a different. Show them Christ. And you know what will happen? When different things come up and things arise, and they'll come to you and say, man, would you pray for me? They'll know it. They'll know there's a difference in your life. Here, Abraham had that testimony. He was making a difference. And can I say, we need to go into the world today and make a difference. We need to go in there and have a testimony and be able to give out the gospel and give out the word of God and not be ashamed. Why are we ashamed? Go in there and give out the gospel and give out a tract and lead people to Christ. So many times we hang our head in shame and say, no, I can't do that. Abram here is going into a land of Canaanites. But because Abram always did right, maybe not always, but because Abraham served God and did right and followed what God had told him to do, here we find out verse number 7. Because he did right, Abram was blessed by God. Look at verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. Let me hit this and then we'll talk about that. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. Because he obeyed God, get this, he got to enjoy the presence of God. He obeyed God, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. He got to enjoy the presence of God in his life. Can I say, Christian today, man or woman, boy or girl, there's no greater thing in your life than being in the presence of God. But see, to be in the presence of God, we must be present. You get that? You must present your body is a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. To be in the presence of God, I must present my body to God. See how that works? Here, Abram was present for God and say, okay, God, I'm here, and I'll do what you need me to do, God. And here, God shows up, and the presence of God falls on Abraham's life. And can I say, we need to be more present and be open and say, Lord, I'm here. Lord, use me the way you would. Whatever way, whatever you'd have come my way, God used me in that special way. Abram had that testimony. Abram had that prayer life. When Abram got the victory, he ended up moving on and he ended up building an altar unto God. And the Bible says, and he prayed to God. We need to have that prayer life. I said we need to be that example, men, to our children. When we pray with them. Pray, make sure we pray before meals. Make sure we pray. Sometimes we get so hungry. I do it myself. We'll get so hungry, and all of a sudden, a couple bites are going, wait a minute, we didn't pray yet, right? But even if you do that, that's still a good example. Hey, wait, stop. We need to pray. Amen? We need to pray. We can't eat our meal without praying. But we need to have that time of prayer before bedtime, praying and being a witness through our prayer and praying that God would keep that hedge of protection around our children, praying that God would keep them safe, praying that we could be leaders, praying that we could be the example to our children. So many influences are coming in from here and from there and from school and from kids and from TV and from internet and from radio, and they're just bombarding them. We need to pray every day. Men, pray, Lord, just keep my boys, keep my girls safe. Keep them from danger. Keep them from that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God, protect my family. Keep a hedge of protection around them. Oh, God, don't let Satan get them. He's trying. Boy, he's trying. He's doing whatever he can. He's using any device. He's using any a friend, if you will, to try to bring our children down. We need some men to get on our knees and pray, Lord God, keep my family safe. Don't let the devil try to influence their lives. We need more men to get in there and pray and say, oh God, I need your help. Here we find out not only a prayer life, not only we pray, but men, we need to be leaders in our homes. As I said, the devil is seeking whom he may devour. It's important, men, that we be present, not only in our churches, but in our families' lives, in their lives, not just to be with them in time, but be with them spiritually. Because you know what, men? If we don't present ourselves before God, if we don't present ourselves to our family and fill that void, something will fill that void. Amen? The devil's going to have something to fill that void and to try to draw them away. We got to be present. We got to be there and through prayer. We got to be there through leaderships, and we got to be there with everything we have. When we present ourselves, we can enjoy the presence of God. And the very last thing, look at verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. If you look in verses 2 and 3, you find the seven promises that were granted to Abram if he would follow what God would have him do. In verse number 2, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great,
and thou shalt be a blessing. Number three, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And number seven, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here we find out a couple questions. Abraham, because he obeyed God, because he was committed to a life of faith, he followed the Lord. And because he did that, you find out the blessings that God gave him. You find out the presence of God came upon his life. Man, are we committed to a life of faith? Do we sing all to Jesus, I surrender? Do we mean that with all our heart, with all our might? Are we going to give all the loaves, all the fishes? Or do we keep a little bit for ourselves? We got to be careful of that. Are we committed to a life of faith? Number two, are you committed to being a witness? Not only in our families is it the men's responsibility, not just the men, but the moms too. But you understand where I'm going with it. The men's responsibility to be a witness to our children, to be that example. So guess what? That they can get saved. Can you imagine? We kind of overlook that sometimes. We really do. We're saved and we know we're going to heaven. And I know how important it is for our children to get saved. But there are times where we're going through life and we come to church and the kids go off to Sunday school class, and they we take them, they go to junior church, and we bring them to Awana's. We start to forget that it's our job. Are you with me? We start to say, well, we take them to church, and we take them Sunday morning, we take them Sunday night, we take them on Wednesday night, so our job is done. No, it's not. It's our job to be at home, to be that witness, to that we're just preaching what the church is teaching. Are you with me? It's our job to do that. And oftentimes we think because we drop them off at church a couple times a week, well, they'll just get saved. More than likely they will. But you know what? Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever stop praying. Say, Lord, save my babies. And Lord, keep them safe. And Lord, don't let the devil get them. And Lord, help me to do my best. Because we know we fall short. Help me to do my best. Help me to be the daddy that I can be. Help me to show my little Johnny and little Susie how they can grow up and love the Lord. Help them to get saved, because I know the devil wants nothing more than to get daddies to fall off the wagon. He wants nothing more to get daddies to quit going to church and quit being faithful. You know why? Because the devil wants our children and he wants their lives destroyed. So he tries to get daddy. You know why, men? Because if he can get daddy, as we've seen in all the statistics I read, the majority of the time, the family will crumble. Man, the devil's out for you. Because if he knows if he can take down the head, like I say, if you cut the head of the snake off, the whole thing falls. He knows if he can get the men of the house, well, what'll happen? Man, how important it is that we follow what God would have for us. I'll give you this conclusion and I'll be done. There was a man in Chicago. He made it a practice to stop in a bar for a drink or two on his way home from work. One afternoon, as he walked toward the bar in the newly fallen snow, he heard a small voice behind him saying, Daddy, Daddy, I'm a-coming in your steps. It was the voice of his son as he tried to place his feet in his dad's footsteps in the snow. And the man cried out, Oh God, Lord, I see what I've done. And he said, Lord, if I can change that direction, let me, Lord, whatever I can do, help me to change those footsteps and lead them in a different direction. What direction? If there was snow throughout our lives and we had our footprints going through the snow and the little boys are falling behind us. The pianist can come up. Brother Andrew, come on up. If we were going through the snow and our life was just a snowfall, and as we went through life, there's a step, there's a step, there's a step. And we got our little children following up behind us. What steps are they following in? What are we doing for them? Are we leading them in the right direction? Are we leading them the way they should go? Oh God, help us. Help the fathers on this Father's Day to have those steps going in the right direction. Have those steps leading in front of the church doors, amen. Have those steps leading to prayer life. Have those steps leading to being a witness. Oh, how we can fall short.
Help our fathers here today. Help us to be the head of the household that God has called us to be. Maybe you want to come down today and say, you know what? I haven't been the father I should have been. I haven't been leading the way I should lead. And oh God, make this today, this Father's Day, 2017, make it that day. I'll always remember, you know what? My footsteps were going that way, but oh God, I led them a different direction. You can look back on this day and say, you know what? I know my kids were going to head up behind me and get into the garbage and the filth that I was into. But oh God, I remember that day on Father's Day at Emmanuel Baptist Church that I walked down the aisle and I came to an altar. I said, oh Lord God, change my ways. Help me to lead my family. Help the devil to not get my family because he's trying to do everything he can. And I promise you, he will if we don't be the leaders of our home. Help us. So many people today are falling off the wagon. So many people today are saying, you know what? The rest of them are doing it. Why do I have to do it? Oh, God, help us. Mamas, maybe there is no father in the picture. Keep being strong. Keep being strong. Don't ever give up. You have to take on two roles, don't you? You got to take on two positions. You do it as good as you can. And you push on and you say, you know what? I can do it. God will give you strength. Help us, men. I'm going to be a leader. Grandpas, I'm going to be a leader. Would you come this morning? So I'm going to be a leader of my home. Maybe you are walking the right way with God. Maybe everything is right. All the footsteps are leading the right direction. Maybe you want to come down and say, you know what? I want to come down. I just want to say, Lord, keep me strong. Keep me in the race. Keep me faithful. Keep me doing right. Maybe you want to do that. Brother Andrew, go ahead and lead us.
Two, let's all stand. 452, where he leads me.